If you would, turn with me to Ephesians 4. We're going to do something a little different today, and I thought that I would tell you ahead of time so that you'd be prepared for that, because I know that, did you know our non-charismatic friends like to make fun of us? Or our Catholic friends or our more liturgical friends like to make fun of us. You know why they like to make fun of us? Because we believe that we're not liturgical, you know, that we just follow the leading of the Spirit, and we don't have an order to things. But we do the same thing every week. Have you noticed that? You know, we sing a certain songs, we get an announcement, we preach a sermon, then we give an altar call. And I bet that if one week you came in here and we did it all differently, some of you would be going, what's wrong with them today? They're a little off. I don't know. This is not the time that we're supposed to do this part of the service. And we're going to do just a little tweak today. And I have a feeling that that could be the thing, because I think that kind of subconsciously, when I give the altar call and you guys come forward and you seek the Lord, and once that wraps up, in your mind, it's checkout time, right? Like, we're done. We're not thinking about anything else. We're just going to make our way out the door, and that's it. So I'm going to make a slight adjustment to that today. I have some things to share with you after giving you the invitation to respond, and the sermon will be short enough to allow for that. And so just, if you would do me that favor, could you do me that favor and not just check out after? By looks on your face, you guys are saying that you never check out ever. Is that right? You guys never check out on me? You guys are just always with me? All right, awesome. Okay. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just seeing the wrong thing, you know. But anyway, Ephesians 4. Now, I'm a father of four, and if you had children, a father of four, just saying that enough is to say he's got too much on his plate, don't mess with him, right? Father of four. So a father of four, and I do about 80% of the parenting, and Heather does 20. I'm kidding, it's the other way around, but father of four, and I'm married, and so I have a wife to tend to, and she has me to tend to, so you could pray for her. And I have a house to take care of and myself to take care of, and then I have a church that I pastor, and just that involves a lot of busyness and a lot of just, do you ever feel like, I just wish I had time to do this, wish I had time to do this, and the things that I wish I had time for, they're not like lazy things, like they're productive things. Like, I wish I had time to do this productive thing. There, a lot of them are spiritual things, but I'm limited on the amount of time that I have. And I've been thinking about that lately, maybe over the past year, and it's been making me have a lot of regrets. Have you ever had regrets before? It's been making me have a lot of regrets, and one of the reasons for that is I've been thinking about me in my early 20s. Have you ever thought of yourself in your early 20s? Okay, and I'm thinking about that, and I have a lot of regrets. Now, no, I wasn't a crazy person in my 20s, as some people were crazy in their 20s. That's not the kind of regret I'm talking about. I'm remembering being in my early 20s and just thinking about how busy life is now and thinking about how not busy life was in my early 20s. I didn't have any children. I was married, but Heather's easy. So, but I didn't have four children, and I was a children's pastor in which there wasn't a lot of expectations on me, so it was a limited role, so I didn't have a lot of busyness with that, even though I put everything I could into what they wanted me to do and allowed me to do, but I wasn't busy. And I just think about how much time I spent watching TV, reading books, playing video games. I know none of you ever play video games. You guys, this generation now, they play video games. I don't know what's wrong with them, and none of us do that, except I know some of you guys are on your phones playing some of those games that are on there while saying you can't believe those people who play video games. But I've been thinking about that when I had all that time, I wasn't doing much with it. And I regret the amount of relationships that I could have sewed into and developed. I regret the amount of development that it could have been taking place in my life. I regret the amount of things that could have been achieved with that time. Do you ever do that? Do you ever look back at times where you had more time? Or maybe a time when It didn't take so much work to get out of bed and get going the day, right? You only had so much. Do you ever feel like you only have so much time before your body's going to collapse, right? You can only contribute so much. And you remember the day when you could just keep going, right? You just keep going. You just didn't get. And for some reason, when we were younger and when we were more healthy, we wasted all that time. And yet we still do that today to some extent. We waste time. Don't worry, I'm almost fixing it. We waste so much time. Like yesterday, have you ever thought about yesterday? What did I do yesterday? What did I do with my time? Was there anything I did that was productive? Anything that was of eternal value? Or have you ever had one of those days where you know that day's coming, and you know that there's time available on that day, and you're thinking, I'm going to do something good with that day? Have you ever had days like that? Okay, and the day comes, I'm tired. Or I just dealt with a bunch of things yesterday. I just don't want to deal with anything today now. Or your body says, guess what? Your knee's going to kill you, and you're not going to be able to get around. Or just like you're feeling a little like not so great in your stomach or whatever. And then before you know it, you get to the next day, and what did I do with that day? Nothing. Or someone comes in front of you, and they say something. They express some kind of need, and you realize I could do something to help this person. And you think about it for a minute. And you think, you might not think this for real, but maybe this is in your mind. You think, if I just think long enough about this, maybe they'll just move on and I won't do anything. And we miss the opportunity to do something. And how many moments are passing us by in which we're doing nothing? I mean, we're doing something. We're probably resting or cleaning the house up or taking care of some chore, but how much time are we spending on doing things that are of eternal value? How much time are we spending? Like, what am I living my life for? And we just waste so much time. And that's, I don't think we realize what James tells us in James 4 when he says, for you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And have you ever thought about that? Have you ever just blinked for a moment and you thought, how am I 5 years older all of a sudden? Because the time just keeps going by and going by and going by. And I know because I observe some of us and I see that some of us say, you know, I just really need to get that taken care of. I need to take care of that soon. And then before we know it, just we blink and there's 3 months that went by. And I think sometimes we mean soon like Jesus means soon. You know, he's coming back soon. And I think sometimes we're in that kind of mindset because there's things that never happen. Aren't there things on your list that you think, I should do that with my life, and it just never happens? And maybe we lose track of time because we don't realize that we've been sitting on that for weeks, months, years, and what did we do with all that time? I don't know about you, but I would like to stand before the Lord and show him that I did something of value with all that time that I had. But day after day, things go away. And we miss the opportunity. It goes away like a vapor. And we have all the different excuses as to why we don't do things that are productive, right? Well, I'm too old. Right? I'm too old for that. Or I have too many health limitations. Or I already did a bunch of stuff in the past, so I shouldn't have to do anything else now, right? Not that I've ever heard anybody tell me that before. Or I don't know enough. I just don't know things. You know, I don't know answers. I don't know what to say. I don't know things. Or I don't have certain abilities and skills. I'm not organized like that person and put together. Or I'm not as social as that person. And so I don't have a lot of skills. And so that's why I don't do much because I don't have things. Are these excuses that we've told ourselves before? And we might think, well, what's wrong with them? They're perfectly good excuses. Unless we read what Paul wrote in Philippians 1. If I am alive, if I live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Paul says, if I am alive, then that means there's something, some work for me to do. That's the qualification. It's not as long as I'm younger than 70. It's not If it's easy for me to get around and I have no aches and pains, it's not how much I did in the past. It's not whether or not, it's not even about, because some of us, I think some of us don't realize how much we're capable of. And I don't mean without the Lord. I mean with the Lord. Because if the Lord, if the Holy Spirit's living inside of us, the one who there is nothing impossible with God, the one who has all wisdom, the one who is the creator, who understands everything that is before us, is working through us, we are capable. It doesn't matter how intelligent we think we are. It doesn't matter how smooth we think we are or not, or how healthy we are. If I am alive, would somebody reach over to your neighbor and pinch them for a minute and check and see if they're still alive? All right, good. That's all it takes to qualify for doing the work of the kingdom. Did you know that? Is to be alive. But it's also a sense of responsibility that if I am alive, then there are assignments that Jesus has for me to tackle. And I don't know about you, but wouldn't you rather live a life that is meaningful? Wouldn't you rather be able to sit down at the end of the night and feel like that was a meaningful day? And I got to participate in that. That day had worth to it. That day had purpose to it. But we don't do that because we're caught up with so many other things. But the Bible tells us to live a life of purpose. Did you know that? That's the point of the parable of the talents, that we are responsible. God gives us, he deposits things in us, and he expects some kind of return in it. That's the reason for the Great Commission. All of us are to go out into all the world and make disciples. That's the reason for train up a child in the way he should go, or train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's the reason for, as we talked about on Wednesday night, for Ephesians 2:10, that we were created in him for good works. Do you know that? Each and every one of us were created by God to achieve something. And I know that the difficulty is, yes, God's the one who paved the way for that. The Lord is the one who sacrificed to open up that. The Holy Spirit's the one that works in our lives to draw us there. But the Lord expects us to do something with our lives. But how do we live out a life of purpose? One of the ways that we need to do that is to know what it is. What is it I'm supposed to be doing with my time? I don't know if you know this, but your goal in life is to binge watch your favorite TV show. That's when you stand at the judgment. He's going to ask you, did you complete that whole TV show, all 7 seasons? He's going to ask you. He's also going to ask if you crushed it at Candy Crush. He's also going to ask you how clean you kept your home, how well you dressed, and whether or not you had a good job and had your finances in order. Does that not sound like that's going to make the list? But that's what we live our lives for often, isn't it? He's not going to ask, did everybody like you? That's not the purpose that God has for our lives. There is something that he has called us to achieve, but something gets in the way, and maybe in the weeks to come, we'll talk about these items that tend to get in the way of that. But if not, just be mindful of these are some of the things that get in the way of it. One of the things that get in the way of that is that some of us are too earthly-minded. And I don't mean being materialistic. I don't mean being immoral. I mean some of us, when we wake up each day, we are living for what's happening here. That's what we live for. There are things here we need to take care of. We do have to go to our job, right? Because we need an income. We do need to take care of our family, and we do need to take care of our house relatively. You know, your house doesn't have to be immaculate, though, right? Okay, we do need to take care of our stuff to some degree, our health. But that's not the reason for life. We do all of those things to support doing what we're supposed to be living for. But some of us get too caught up in, you know, my body's not working. I need to make sure I'm getting better. And my family, I need to take care of my finances. And that's just what we live for, is the earthly life. And we need to learn to start getting our minds, as Paul tells us in Colossians, to be heavenly minded, to keep our mind on things above. Another item that gets in the way is our comfort. We like to be comfortable, don't we? That's why when it's a little too cold in this room, people will tell me that, right? Because we don't like to be uncomfortable. Or we'll put on more, you know, warmer clothes. Or if it's too hot in this room, you'll see us doing this thing. You don't want it to be too hot in this room because there'll be an odor coming from my body if that happens. And you'd rather not that. You'd rather it be cooler. But we like to be comfortable. And so if that's why some choose to not participate in ministry, for example, like witnessing. Think about why you saw that person and you had the opportunity to connect with them and you didn't share your faith. It wasn't because, well, if I do that, I'll be really comfortable. It was because I don't feel comfortable about that, so I'm not going to do it. The reason why we choose to skip out of certain things, it's not because, well, if I go to that, if I participate in that, I'm going to be very comfortable. It's because we'll be uncomfortable. Because, you know, my back's bothering me today, or I got a little bit of a headache, or I'm a little tired today, and so I'm not going to participate in that. And it's because of comfort. And some of us are lacking in becoming what God wants us to be because we're so focused on being comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable unless it gets in the way of achieving the purpose that God has for our lives or protection or safety. Some of us are so caught up in making sure that we're safe. Some people, I don't know if you know this, but some people treat their home as a bunker. You know, I just got to make sure I get all my food sent here. I got to have all my canned goods so that when the nuclear bomb goes off, I'm safe in my bunker, and I'm not going to go out there because, you know, there's shootings that happen out there, and there's theft that happens out there, and then there's mean people out there, and I'm just going to stay in here because we want to be safe and comfortable, and we miss what God wants us to be living for because we're trying to keep ourselves safe. And I don't mean that you need to start walking out in the middle of the night in some dangerous alley, okay? But there's certainly a happy medium between those two extremes. Or some of us value our ability to be in control of things so much. I just want to be in control of my life. Or I don't want anybody else to be in control of my life. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do. Is anybody in here like to have somebody tell you what to do? Anybody? Boo, you do? Okay, come see me after service. I have some things that I would like for you to do. Does anybody else like to? No hands? No more hands? We don't like people to tell us what to do. And believe it or not, that also gets in the way of us fulfilling, living out God's purpose for our lives. You know why? Because living out God's purpose for our lives means we're doing something somebody's telling us to do. Because it means God's telling us to do something, and we're doing that thing. But we don't really like that. We're adults now. We should be able to do what we want with our lives. Nobody else should be telling us when we should be getting up and how we should be dressing and how we should keep it. Have you ever had? Now, I'm thankful that my mom can come into my house and she doesn't mention how messy things are at times. But some of you might have an in-law that or a parent that comes into your house. Do they ever tell you how messy your house is? And you think, I'm an adult now, I don't live with you anymore, this is my house, don't tell me how to keep things clean, all right? Because we don't like people telling us what to do with our lives, right? That thing gets in the way of doing what God wants us to do. We have to learn to humble ourselves and say, what's the assignment? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do that. I don't feel like it, I don't feel like I have the energy, I don't feel like I know what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it because that's my assignment. So what is the assignment? Well, Ephesians is going to tell us that, Ephesians 4. And the first step to getting, living this purpose is to understand our life purpose. And Paul says in verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And mind us that he's writing to all of us. And this is the call that he's saying, all of us are called. All of us have to live a life worthy of the calling that is before us. And that's the first step in this, is knowing that we have a call. Did you know that? Did you know that you have a call, that God has an assignment for you to live out? And we might say, but I'm not that mature in my faith, or I don't know that much about the Bible, or I'm a very anxious person, or I'm very insecure, or I'm very old, or very young, or whatever excuse it is. Sometimes we sound like Moses, you know that? Do you remember what Moses did when God said, this is what I want you to do? Moses said, well, I don't talk very well, and I'm, you know, my brother's older than me, you should choose him, and I'm a murderer, and I got this past, and that's what Moses, and you, did God get happy with that response? God was frustrated. And so each and every one of us, it doesn't matter what the makeup is, we have an assignment to do, and part of that assignment is a common assignment that all of us share. And that is in verse 12, Paul says that he has given God has given the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the leadership of the church is there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, if you're a former Catholic, this does not mean the people who achieved great things in the past and we named them saints. The saints are every believer. The leadership of the church is called to train you to do the work of the ministry, to work towards the maturity of the body of Christ, which means that each and every one of us in this room, we have a job, and our job is to be developers. Do you know that? Our job is to be a developer. Now again, I understand that it's God that supplies all the strength and all the wisdom and gives us the opportunity, and he's the one that works in our lives, so we're even willing to do that. But my assignment, your assignment, is to seek to have my faith developed. That's first part of our assignment, is to seek to have people in our lives who are developing our faith towards maturity, and then we need to be seeking that out in other people, to work towards developing other people's faith. Did you know that that's your job? It's not just my job. It's all of our job. And so the people in our lives, our kids, our neighbors, our co-workers, our job is to seek to achieve them having mature faith. That's what our responsibility is. But in order for us to do that, we have to be able to answer a couple of questions. And the first question is, what does maturity look like? What does it look like to be a mature follower of Christ? Well, what it looks like is to speak in tongues, be really excited, sing all the songs on Caleb, have a Jesus bumper sticker on your car, and to smile at everybody. That's maturity in the faith. No, that's not. I mean, maybe that will be part of it, but that's not what Jesus talks about or Paul talks about as far as what the maturing of the faith is. What it is first he says in verse 13 that when they're moving towards this maturity until all of us attain, and I wanted to mention, we know when we're done, you know when we're done with this assignment? When everybody is mature in their faith. We still got a lot of work to do, don't we? When everybody is mature in their faith. If there's anybody lacking, we have work to do. Not just me, we have work to do. And part of that work is to seek maturity towards the, verse 13, the unity of the faith. In fact, that one was so important that at the beginning of the chapter in verse 3, he says that we are to be eager to maintain the unity. Or in verse 4, there is one body. And this isn't just playing nice with others. Okay? Because if we look later when he says that every joint is to hold the body together, okay, this isn't just playing well with others. This is working towards helping everybody be on the same page and on the same team. And so, honestly, because I really wrestle sometimes because I see things that not everybody sees. And I wrestle with not letting that affect what happens when I open the service, for example. Because when I open the service and there's a lot less people than there were the week before, and it's not I should be able to have more people in the church that I'm pastoring. It's not that. You know what I'm thinking in my head? Specific people in my mind, and I'm thinking, where are they? They're supposed to be here. Where are those people? I'm not thinking, why don't we have 50 people in the room right now? I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, where's this person? Where's this person? Where's this person? Where's this person? Now, some of them I know, because some people know that you're supposed to tell me that you're not going to be here. I'm teasing. But some of them know because some people feel a compulsion to tell me or whatever. But some of them, I don't know, and I'm wondering, where are they? I should not be the only one thinking that. Did you know that? All of us are called to seek the unity of the body, to be a part of the team. And so all of us should walk into this room and go, there's not that many people here today. Who's missing and where are they? And then when we get home, you know what some of us should do? Some of us have some of those people's phone numbers. And we should call them and we say, hey, where were you? I missed you. But some of us are, well, that's, I'm sure pastor's got that covered. I'm sure he's got that covered. Did you know that we have about 80 people that go to this church? Okay. Now, some of them come about once a month or, you know, whatever, sporadic, and some of them choose to all come in the same week, and some of them don't. And I don't know if you know this, but I don't really have the time to call 80 people today. Now, not that 80 people are missing, but there's certainly not 80 people in this room. And so I don't really have the time to call 40 people today. Okay, is that wrong of me to say that? I don't have time to call 40 people today. But if more of us decide, hey, I missed somebody, I should call and find out where they were. If more of us decided to do that, then we would be working. I think this thing would be a stronger thing if more of us decided, hey, I have a part to play in this. I have a role in this. It's not just pastor that's supposed to be developing this in others. I'm supposed to be developing this in others. And I should, that's why I love that before service, I looked over there and Gracie was cleaning the glass on the windows back there. That's someone who's being a team player. She noticed smudges and she thought, I'm just going to take care of this. That's the kind of thing we should be, is we should be looking for what needs to happen, what needs to take place, and let me be a team player and help this happen. And that's why when you have other people that come to you and say, hey, will you start participating in this, and it's not me, it's not because I paid them money to go do that, and it's not because I'm trying to figure out how can I make my to-do list shorter. It's because if I'm to do my job is to get more people to be playing this kind of a role. And I know that my ministry isn't to get you to hear a good sermon every Sunday and leave. That's not my job. That's a part of what I do, but that's not my job. My job is to try to convince you and show you how to minister to other people. That's my job. And that's all of our job. To encourage everybody, if you see someone that's not participating in anything, encourage them to participate. Encourage them to get involved. Don't do it mean. Don't judge people. Make sure we're cautious to know that maybe this person has some limitations and stuff. But encourage people to be a part of the team. And then verse 13, towards the knowledge of the Son. This isn't just knowing information about Jesus. This is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Part of maturity, and that's why we walk through the spiritual habits for a number of weeks. Part of being mature in the faith is someone who has a healthy prayer life, a healthy connection with Jesus Christ, a healthy understanding and study of Scripture. That's a part of this maturity. And so if we want to develop maturity in others, have you ever asked somebody how's their prayer life? Why not? Have you ever asked anybody about what they're learning from Scripture? Why not? I think some of it is because our culture subconsciously puts this in our head that's a private thing. You know, don't meddle in other people's lives. Just let them live their own lives. But that's not what Paul's calling us to do. He's calling us to step in and develop faith in others. And how can I develop a faith in somebody else's life if I don't know what their faith is? And so I need to start asking questions like that. How's your walk with the Lord? Do you feel close with Him? Do you believe in Him? Are you trusting in Him? I need to be working towards that's our assignment, is to develop that in other people. To the measure of the stature of Christ in verse 13, character is the demonstration of maturity. If I lack patience, do you know what that means? That means that they weren't moving this line fast enough. If I lack patience, that means that my kids were just not doing what they're supposed to do. If I lack patience, that means that they weren't taking care of my cable the way that they should take care of it. No. If I lack patience, that means there's something lacking in the maturity of my faith. Character. If I lack love for others, if I lack joy, if I lack peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if I'm lacking in those things, that's a lack of maturity. And it doesn't mean we need to be perfect, but that's the movement, like we talked about last week, that's the direction of our lives, is to move towards becoming more and more like Christ in character. That needs to be happening in us, and we need to be seeking to develop that in other people. Then lastly, in this, under this question, we are to have good theology. Paul says that we are to grow up in our faith, and the reason, verse 14, is so that we will no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I'm always amazed at the people who say that they're very mature in their faith and they believe absolute nonsense. Some of the craziest things. I mean, people who've been following Christ for decades, who are bold to share their faith with others, and they will pray with them. I mean, they act in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, but they believe some of the most, I'll filter this, crazy things. If our minds are that wonky, okay, then that means there's a lack of maturity in our faith. And we need to feel a little bit of confidence that when someone comes and tells us something that's really, really crazy off the wall, to stop and say, wonder what the Bible says about that. And again, we think, well, but I'm shy, I'm introverted, I'm insecure, people don't like me, all the disclaimers. But what is the qualification for being someone who ministers? To be alive. Now, the more we are in sync with the Holy Spirit and surrendered to Christ and following him, the more capable we will be. But if I am alive, then that means that Jesus has an assignment for me. My intelligence, my introversion or extroversion, my social skills, my confidence is not relevant. I am called to be a developer of the faith of the people who are around me, and that means I need to challenge people to be this kind of a person. But if I'm going to develop that, I need to know what the strategy is. How is it that I'm supposed to do this? And the answer is you're supposed to hide in your house and pray that God will get them. And then just sit back and watch it happen. That's the strategy. And if that doesn't work, you start fasting. And if that doesn't work, you start telling your friends about how lousy of a person that person is and that they need to be praying for that person too. Have you ever had people give you that kind of prayer request? Boy, my brother-in-law is just a lousy, lousy guy. I feel for my sister. You need to be praying for him because he's this and that. And that's not the strategy. That's not how we develop people's faith. We develop people's faith by, he goes on to say in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Now again, verse 11 is where we have the pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and apostles. That's verse 11. That's the leadership of the church has a responsibility, and their responsibility, verse 12, is to train people to do ministry. And then verse 13 is the ministry is to work towards maturity. And then 15, he says, speaking the truth in love. Who's he talking to there? All of us. That's not just the pastor is supposed to be speaking the truth in love. All of us are supposed to be communicating biblical truth to each other. That's all of our jobs. Although it did say in there that that's only for the extroverts. Didn't it say that somewhere in verse 15 it says that, right? I think that's in the Message version, I think. Someone will get that joke later. All of our job is to communicate biblical truth to others. That's our job, is to tell other people what the Bible teaches. Don't do it in a condescending way. You know, don't just like Facebook message someone a link that is going to tell them about how they're supposed to live a certain way. Don't do that. And listen, I know those of you here that send Facebook message links to people, and we'll get you later. Got a good laugh from someone back there. That's not how we get them. We don't get them by laying on a guilt trip. We don't get them by harassing them per se. We get them by telling them the truth. and telling them the truth in love, which means that I actually have to genuinely care for their welfare. And so when I'm telling them that they should stop this, they should be able to feel the genuineness that's coming from me, that I want them to stop that because I want them to not destroy their lives anymore, or because I want them to not lack in their standing before the Lord. I want them to experience the move of the Spirit in their lives. I want them. Listen, I'm telling you these things because I want you to be able to go home and lay down at the end of the night. Well, there, that's interesting. I want them. I want you to be able to go home at the end of the night, lay down, and feel like that was a meaningful day. I feel good between me and the Lord right now. I kind of sense him telling, well, good, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to have that feeling. I have that feeling. Do you know that? Not all the time, because sometimes I'm a little crazy. Okay, sometimes I give into the flesh. But I numerous have, May is the constant helper here. I regularly, thank you, May. I often have that sensation of, I feel God's pleasure in me. And it's okay if it doesn't work. We can make do with this. Yeah, we can give her a hand. Yeah, thank you. I want you to feel that. I want you to feel the sensation of I made a difference in somebody else's life eternally. I want you to feel that. And so when I ask you to be an usher, I don't ask you to be an usher so that we have someone that can collect the offering. When I ask people to help with the kids, I don't ask people to help with the kids because we need someone that's downstairs taking care of the kids, dealing with my unruly family. I don't ask that because I'm looking for a babysitter. I'm asking that because I want you to experience what it's like to know I made a difference in somebody else's life. Because that's what the purpose of this life is. It's not to make sure we have enough to pay for our utilities. It's not to make sure that we have enough clothes. It's not to make sure that we are comfortable. It's to make sure that we are making an eternal difference in the lives of others. That's why I tell us these things. And so part of it is to communicate biblical truth. Part of it is, I love this line in verse 15. We are to grow up. Do you hear Paul say what he's saying to us? Grow up. That's what he's saying. Do you ever look at people that are adults and think they need to grow up? They need to grow up, right? And part of the reason we feel that is because of their lack of responsibility, right? They are not responsible. They need to grow up. And Jesus is looking at some of us and saying they are not responsible. And he's not looking at the kind of earthly responsibility we're talking about. He's looking at, are they living out their lives with the focus of, there are people that need to be reached. There are people that need to be developed in their faith, and we need to grow in our faith. And the reason is because the stronger I am in my faith, the more capable I will be. And so if I'm saying, well, I don't know all the answers, well, are we studying Scripture to look for the answers? Are we participating in things like a Wednesday night discussion group to learn the answers? Are we making sure we're consistently here on Sundays to listen to the teaching of the Word of God? Are we in accountability relationships? Because if we're not doing those things and we don't have the answers, there is only one person we could point the blame to, and that's ourselves. Because part of our life purpose is to seek to be developed and in order to be able to impact the lives of others. And so if we think at all that we lack in any of these things, then be developed. Grow up in our faith. And then verse 16, the whole body, and I referenced this earlier, joined and held together by every joint. And no, this is not the marijuana type of joint. This is the elbow type joint, okay? The shoulder joint. And the joint actually is you and I. Every one of us, our responsibility is to hold each other together, to make social connections with one another, to build relationships. That includes all of us, extroverted or introverted, with or without a car. And I want us to know something, that most of us have cell phones. If we don't, right or wrong, the government is buying people's cell phones and giving them services many times. And if we have an ability to reach out to people, then we have a responsibility to do something, to connect with other people. So how many friends do you have? Do we have any friends? Do we have people that we call and check on and invite over to our house and spend time with people? And that's because my son, and I know we're going long because we're supposed to end at 10:45. I'm just kidding. My son, the one who doesn't actually live with, he's not my biological son, but he's with us during the weekends. I've been slacking on getting some household chores done. You know why? He wants me to sit down next to him and play this computer game with him. And an hour or two will go by, and in my head I'm thinking, there are really more productive things to be doing right now. But he wants me to stay there, sitting there, playing that game with him. And I will do it. You know why? Because it's people that we're supposed to live for. Not our clean house or car or our budget or being able to make sure we get to relax and play on our phones at some point during the day. It's people. That's what we're supposed to live for, is to be with people. I know we have to go to our job, but when we come back from our job, when I get home from my job, I'm tired, right? You're tired when you get home from your job. But are we spending any time with people? Well, nobody answers my phone calls. Well, find different friends then. Okay? If someone doesn't like you, seek someone else out. But our responsibility is to be with people, to make connections. It's the reason why we're not reaching people effectively. How can we reach people we don't know? And so if we're going to reach people, we need to be connected to them. We need to make friendships and relationships, and we need to work those things out. And lastly, verse 16, when each part is properly working, it makes the body grow. Don't you love that word, work? Work implies exerting some energy. Work implies using some of our time to achieve a task. Work implies at times doing things we don't want to do. Have you ever worked a job that you didn't want to do the work at that job? Anybody ever done that, right? And you just kept doing the things that you were told to do, not because you loved doing it, but why? We wanted that paycheck, right? And so we did the job. We did something we didn't want to do. And sometimes there are things that God calls us to do that we don't want to do. We don't want to spend our time doing that. And it takes a lot of energy. And it's because, listen, there's a reason why Jesus calls us sheep. Okay, has anybody ever taken care of sheep? Sheep are not the brightest bunch of animals. In fact, they'll walk off of a cliff if you let them. And they just don't move in the right direction. You know what they need? They need a shepherd to have a staff to come along and go, nope, keep going this way, keep going this way, this way, no, this way, this way. And if you've ever tried to develop people in their faith, you will find that you say, no, come on, this way, this way. All right, I need to take care of something real quick. Oh, no, why are you trying to go off the cliff again? I need to go this way, this way. And it's frustrating to work with people because nobody wants to do what you tell them to do. Nobody does. Nobody wants what's best for them. Now, not that we know all the answers, but we know a lot of answers, right? And it's a difficult task to try. That's why Paul tells Timothy to preach the word with great patience, because it takes a lot of patience to work with people, because don't you ever want to give up on people? Just say, they're a lost cause. You know? Usually we say they're a lost cause because I tried once and it didn't work so well, because our patience is like, you know, razor thin. No? Okay. Well, Cadian is going to teach us a lesson later on how to do that with patience. I'm going to end this way. So I see it's 11:30, and I can see how heavily convicted everybody is right now. Making the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be cannot happen with one 40-minute sermon and 1 hour and a half discussion group every week. It won't happen that way. When Jesus made a disciple, and I was reminded of this, and I had forgotten about this, you know, when Jesus called his apostles to follow him, did you know that they already went through a lot of training in the Jewish law, in the Torah? They already knew a lot of stuff. They already went through a lot of training. So it wasn't just that they had the 3 years with him, but they had that. But they had a lot of training to become an apostle. And we spend very minimal amount of time in developing our faith. And I just can't do that for 80 people. The level of discipleship and attention that each person should have, it's not even just we would like for them to have. The amount of mentorship that every person should have, I can't provide that for every one of us that are a part of this. And so what I'm asking today is I need your help. Will you help me with that? And I think that sometimes it might be a lack of communication or maybe organization on my part or the part of the leadership team. But we're trying to figure out how do we help get us into a place of a network of disciple makers that we're helping disciple one another. And I need your help to do that. And I know that you're saying, but listen, I don't know how to make a disciple. Well, then let's talk about that. It's not going to happen if you're only coming to church once a month, by the way. Okay? Because we have a job to do, and the health of this church, Bethel Assembly of God, is dependent upon you. The thriving and flourishing of Bethel Assembly of God is dependent upon you. And listen, I understand that it's the Lord that does the work. But he calls us to carry it out. Aren't we the hands and feet of the body of Christ? He calls us to carry it. That means we have work to do. Did you notice that in that strategy, there is no mention of praying in that strategy? That does not mean that we shouldn't be praying for the work of God. But again, like I said before, I think that some of us, do we really think that there's pastors out there that aren't wanting their churches to grow and thrive and flourish? Do we think that there's pastors out there that aren't trying to figure out everything they can do to see their church thrive and flourish? Do we think that there's pastors out there that aren't praying for that? If the answer was to pray more, then we would see revival busting out the seams. And the answer isn't to preach better sermons or to preach over certain topics. That's not the answer. The answer, that's why Jesus didn't, when he said, go into the world and preach great sermons. He didn't say that. He didn't say, go into all the world and find a good pastor. Go into all the world and find a good worship team. And as long as you have a drummer and some good musicians, revival will come. He didn't say, go into all the world and teach this specific subject. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe certain parts of what I've commanded them. No, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. We need to be disciple makers. And so I'm asking you, will you help me with that? Will you help me with that? I'm not going to conclude service until everybody jumps up from their seat and says, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm just kidding. And I know that we're an older congregation. I understand that. But are we saying that we're going to wait until we get some younger folks in here before we do this disciple-making thing? Are we saying we're going to wait till all our health issues are taken care of before we do this disciple-making thing? Because I can tell you I'm doing more productive things now when I have less time than I did when I had a lot of time. Because we can find a way. God can help us find a way to get those things done. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Just a few things of instruction for you. Four things I would like you to do for me. Can you do me a favor? Four things. One, and not discounting what I said earlier, but one, would you start praying for the flourishing of Bethel Assembly of God? Will you start praying for that? Every day, will you pray, God, make this church a healthy, thriving church? I know many of you are already doing that. But would you start praying, God, make this a flourishing, thriving church? And now you have a little better picture of that. Okay, because we're not asking, Lord, help us to have a larger attendance on Sunday. Lord, help us to have great children's programs. Lord, help us to have a great youth program. That's not what we're asking for. Although those things would be great. We're asking, Lord, help us to all become disciple makers. Help us to all start doing that. Help us to all start living that way. Help us to all become evangelists. Help us to all become that. Help us to all have the character of Christ. Help all of us to be people of faith, people of the Word. And secondly, will you be thinking of ways to contribute to the flourishing of the church? Paul said that circumcision means nothing unless the person is doing it in their faithfulness to God. And then it means everything. So did you know that when you are a greeter on a Sunday morning, it means nothing if the intent isn't to drive the flourishing of this church? But if it is that, it means everything in the world that you are there greeting someone at the door. Did you know that ushering and help ministering with the children means nothing at all if the intention isn't to bring the flourishing of the faith of the people that we're interacting with? And so it's not good enough just to do stuff. That's not good enough. It needs to be that our intention is, because I need more people to start asking the question, why isn't this thing growing, than just me? More people to start thinking, why isn't this flourishing? Why aren't we reaching this community? Why aren't we seeing people grow in their faith and mature in their faith? Why aren't we seeing that? More people need to be asking, why isn't that, and what can I do about it? Instead of, that pastor needs to get his act together, and he needs to start doing some more things. You know, he needs to start doing this program, and he needs to preach about this, and he needs to talk about that, and he needs to come over to my house and take care of my yard work for me, and needs to visit me in the hospital more often, those kind of things. Instead, we need to start thinking, what can we do? Can you do that with me? Thirdly, I want you to grow up. And I feel leeway to say that because Paul said that. I want you to grow up. And I can tell if you're growing up or not, by the way, because a lot of growing up is demonstrated by the things we do outside. I can see that. Not always, but sometimes. On the back of this, I have given you something extra. Actually, on the front and the back. I'll do the back first, since I told you to turn over the page. I'd like to start giving you a little bit of exercise every week, okay? And no, that doesn't mean you're going to start doing push-ups, okay? A little bit of exercise. On the back is the remaining part of Ephesians 4. And there on that sheet are questions about the verses in those remaining parts of chapter 4, because he tells us the kind of character that we're supposed to develop in our lives. And I'd like for you to go home, and sometime this week, read Ephesians 4, 17 on down to the bottom, and answer these questions. And next week, I'm going to give you the answers in print form. And then you can see whether or not you're getting close. Because what this exercise will be is I want to give you some exercise interpreting Scripture. Because some of us, I think we read it and we never get much from it. And we need to learn to interpret it. And so that's an exercise. And I'm going to call people by name next week and ask them to answer the questions for us. We can find out if they did that. And then next week, there won't be anybody here. Secondly, back on the other side, you see this little QR code there? Okay. This QR code, if you know how to use them. Now, if you have a smartphone, all you got to do is take your camera and get onto it like you're going to take a picture of it. And it'll bring this suggested link, and you tap on that, and it'll take you somewhere. Now, if you listen to podcasts, like if you have iTunes or Spotify on your phone, it'll take you in there, and this is a podcast episode. And what this podcast episode is from is a podcast called The Church Revitalization podcast. And you might think, well, why do I need to listen to somebody talk about how to revitalize a church? Because you're an equipper. Because you're someone who's called to develop other people in their faith. And so I want to encourage you to listen to that. This is a podcast our leadership team has been listening to. And I want you to see if there's ideas there. Because did you know there's other people that have answers besides me? Okay. And I'm curious to see what happens if some of you get some ideas in your head. So I want to encourage you to listen to that. And then next week, Diana is going to come and give us a report on what she learned from that podcast. There is also a list of a couple of questions on this. It says bonus there. When we go back in the back room, if you do that, and you could do this on a weekly basis, here's a couple of questions to maybe ask somebody while you're back there. And one of them is, what are you celebrating that God is doing in your life currently? Just ask something like that of someone. And we might think, but I don't really want to hear that person talk. Okay, so then we'll need to lay hands on you later, and we'll deal with that. But this is just a gentle way to start getting comfortable with talking about spiritual things with others. Because I think sometimes we're not even comfortable talking about spiritual things to other believers, let alone unbelievers. So, and this might open the door for us to start to minister to one another by starting to talk. You can't minister to someone unless you start opening up. There's a second question in there. What are you hoping the Lord will start doing in your life? Last thing, and then I will let you go, is from now until December 17th, we're issuing a challenge. And it's called the Connect 2 Challenge. And John, if you can make sure you and Dwayne have those sheets that are on your chair there. We're going to issue a Connect 2 Challenge. On December 17th, we're planning on doing something different with our Sunday morning service. We're going to have a brunch together. And we're going to have our service in the fellowship hall, and if we need space, we're going to have it in the multi-purpose room. And it's to highlight the Christmas season, and we're going to have a brunch together. We're going to have time of testimonies, and we're going to talk about the way God is working in our lives through the body of Christ. And we're wanting to bring people to that as well. And here's the Connect 2 Challenge. Is I want to challenge each and every one of us from now to December 17th to connect to two people. One person that is a part of Bethel Assembly of God and one person that is not churched at all. And what I want us to do is to either have them over for lunch or dinner, take them out for lunch or dinner, take them out for coffee, go over to their house and rake their leaves. Alma's volunteering, by the way, if you need a volunteer. Oh, she left. Oh. I guess it was good to say that then. serve somebody, bring them cookies over to their house, give them a phone call and say, hey, I just want to see how you're doing. Is there anything I could pray for you about? But I'd like for each and every one of us to connect with someone in a relational way that's a part of the church and someone who's outside the church. And when you leave, John and Dwayne have a list of names of most of the people that come here. Now, there's some that are newer that we don't have on there. And if you notice someone's not on there, go ahead and reprimand me and tell me that I missed it, and we'll add them on there. And you'll see that there are no phone numbers on there. And the reason is because I know some people would be up telling me later, you gave my cell phone out to everybody at the church. I can't believe you did that. So there's no numbers on there, and you might think, well, how am I supposed to contact them? This is how. If you don't already have their number, text me and say, hey, I'd like to reach out to this person. Can you see about getting their number for them? And then I'll text them and say, do you like this person? No, okay, I'll tell them they can't have your phone number. I'll check and see if it's okay for them to have their number, and then I'll help make the connection. We're going to do a love connection here, I guess, so to speak, all right? And I'll work with you, and part of that will help me see if we're doing this, not because I want to keep track of you, but I would like for us, as we're going up to December 17th, be able to say, hey, look, 20 people already did this already. Something's happening. Hey, half the people already did that. We already connected with half the people already. I'd like to see that start to happen and like to celebrate that with you. Wouldn't you like to celebrate that? Or half the people already built a relationship with someone who's unchurched outside of this church. I'd like to see that happen. Because listen, we are only going to build the church if we do something. And we have to do something with people. And we're only going to build the church if we care. And I can't be the only one who cares, okay? So I know that I've been, like, bossy today and stuff, but hey, watch it over there, Aaron. But there are people who are losing their way and are not finding their way into the kingdom of God more and more every day. And we're not going to reach them just by a select few doing the work. We're not going to reach them if we're just going to wait till we get healthy physically. We're not going to, if you're wishing to get any younger, that's not going to happen. We have work to do. And in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about how we can do that. Okay? So will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for this congregation. And I thank you for the patience that they have with me. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to become what you have called us to be. Because I know, despite the lacking that is evident at times, I know that sitting here in this room, everyone in this room wants to please you. I know that. I believe that, Lord. That everyone in this room does care about the eternal destination of the people in their lives. I know that with my heart, Lord, I know. But there's something that is standing in the way of that being unlocked. And I ask, Lord, that as we experiment and try different things, that when we're getting tired, when we want to give up, when we're frustrated, confused, when things are broken, that you would help us to be people of faith, to believe that despite all our failings and all our flaws, we are a people that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, it doesn't matter how unchristian or unchurched our culture is. Doesn't matter how immoral our culture is. We are more than capable of making an eternal impact on this world around us. Amen. And so I ask that you would enable us to do that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys. Have a good week. Connect too.